All right, here we are via Zoom in the temple room. This is actually quite interesting. So we're going to chant Jai Radha Madhava before class. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balaba Giri Varudha Hoti Gopi Jana Balaba Giri Varudha Hoti Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Malaba Giri Paradhauti Gopi Jana Balaguma Giri Paradhauti Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunjabi Hare Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidakacharya Osu Teta Sutushi Shimad His Divine Grace Savaya Chananada Bhaktivananda Gosami Srila Prabhupada Kijai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Anandakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai Namacharya Shri Vida Stakur Kijai Prem Say Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shidwaita Garadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopikopata Sayam Kun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturam Kijai Jagannatha Swami Kijai Yamunamai Kajai, Shimani Lassi Devi Kajai, Samaveda Bhakta, Vrinda Kajai, Gaur Prevananda Hari Hari Go. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious to Shi, Guru and Gauranga. So we're going to start the Bhagavatam class. Today we are reading from the 10th canto, 18th chapter, text 13 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 The reason I said it six times is because the people in the temple are responding, just so you understand that. So, we're going to share the screen so you can see the Bhagavatam verse. And here we go. Do I have the right one? Let's see. Give me one second. Actually, I put the wrong chapter on the screen. I will go to the right chapter. All right, so we'll read reading from 10th Canto, chapter 18, text 33. Give me 1 second. And we'll get to the right verse. Oops. 10, chapter 18, 32. Bhagavad, it's interesting that at least the version of that I have right now, 10.18, doesn't go up to 33. Oh, I have the wrong, let me just pick the right database. Shrimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 13th chapter. 18th chapter, sorry, text 33. There we go. Okay. Huh. Anyway, let me just read it. We don't have to display it on the screen. All right, so those of you who have the book there, you can read. 10.18.13. That's why I got it wrong. Sorry. I was looking for the wrong one first. 18.13. Now I can display it on the screen. Whoops. Got it. And 18, 13, to Mount Bhagavatam. 10, 13. 1 second. Oops, okay. Here we go. Now I'll share the screen with all of you. Okay, so here's the verse. Kvachin, and you can all repeat. Rityatsu, Chanyeshu, Gayakau, Vadakau, Swayam, Shasham Satur, Maharaja, Sadhu, Sadhu iti vadanau. Okay, we'll try to do this so you can respond. So I'll leave a little pause after I recite each line. Kvachin richasu chanishu gayakau vadakau swayam Shasham Satur Maharaja Sadhu Sadviti Vadanau. Okay, again. Kvachin Rachasu Chanyeshu Gayakau Vadakau Swayam Shasham Satur Maharaja Sadhu Sadviti Vadanau. And one more time. Kvachin Rachatsu Chanyeshu Gayakau Vadakau Swayam Shasham Satur Maharaja Sadhu Sadviti Vadanau. Okay, and then we go to the word-by-word synonyms. Kvachit, sometimes. Vityatsu, while they were dancing. Cha. And. Anyeshu. Others. Gaya Kao. The two of them. Krishna and Balaram. Singing. Radha Kao. Both playing musical instruments. Swayam. Themselves. Shasham Satahu. They praised. Maharaja. O great king. Sadhu, sadhu, iti. Very good, very good. Vadanau. Speaking. Okay. Then we're not going to repeat the verse. I'll just say it one time. Translation. While the other boys were dancing, O King, Krishna and Balaram would sometimes accompany them with songs and instrumental music, and sometimes the two lords would praise the boys, saying, very good, very good. Now, I'm going to refer to the commentaries. We're going to go through several verses, and then we're going to do an analysis, which is quite interesting, if that's all right with all of you. So, Jiva Goswami says, after getting tired from wrestling, Krishna and Balaram, respected as gurus of the arts, would make songs and praise the dancing of others. While the boys danced, they praised them, saying, very good. They particularly praised the boys' dance moves. Thus, the depth of ras in their playing has been described. Ras means, of course, the taste that they have in their playing. You know, the ras, of course, means taste. And there's different tastes, which we're going to be talking about. O great king, best among kings, because of possessing bhakti for Krishna. So that's Parikshit Maharaj she's referring to. Therefore, you were suitable to hear this. After singing along with dancing, Krishna and Balaram also simply sang. And Sanatana Goswami says, previously was described how the coward boys pleased Krishna. Now Krishna and Balaram pleasing the boys is described. By their own desire, swayam, they sang and played instruments while the boys danced. This shows the pleasure in playing. O great king, you are the best among kings because of your excellent devotion. Therefore, you deserve to hear about the Lord's most astonishing affection for the boys. Now, we're going to read the next verse until we get to the part with the demons. So I'll just read this. Kvachit. Vilvai kvachit kumbai kvakcha malakamushtabihi aspresha netra bandha jayar kvachin riga kage hoya. Sometimes the coward boys would play with bilva or kumba fruits, and sometimes with handfuls of amalaka fruits. At other times they would play the games of trying to touch one another or of trying to identify somebody. While one is blindfolded, and sometimes they would imitate animals and birds. So, purport by the followers of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, Srila Sanatana Goswami explains that the word adihai, by such sports, indicates such games as chasing one another and building bridges. Another pastime would occur at noon. While Lord Krishna was taking rest, nearby the young coward girls would be passing by singing, and Krishna's boyfriends would pretend to inquire from them about the price of milk. Then the boys would steal yogurt and other items from them and run away. Krishna, Balaram, and their friends would also play games in which they would cross the river in boats. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur further explains that the boys would play with fruits by throwing a few in the air and then throwing others to try to hit them. The word netra vanda indicates a game in which one boy would approach a blindfolded boy from behind and place his palms over the blindfolded boy's eyes. then simply by the feel of his palms, the blindfolded boy would have to guess who the other boy was. In all such games, the boys put up stakes for the winner, such as flutes or walking sticks. Sometimes the boys would imitate the various fighting methods of the forest animals, and at other times they would chirp like birds. And I wanted to mention a few things about how the boys would actually steal the milk products or create havoc with the girls. So it's Omagana Timidanda Shah, Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur, Unmiritam Yena, Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. One of the favorite activities of the coward boys, actually, let me put my video on so you can see me. Even though seeing the Bhagavatam is actually much more relishable than seeing me. But anyway, where is it? Whoops. Oh, there we go. So, here we are. So, anyway, getting back to the point. So there are many of these, what we call the tax pastimes. And these occurred in various places. But the ones I am most familiar with are the ones that occurred around Govardhan Hill. There's a place called the Dhani Nivartana Kunda, which is right near the city of Govardhan. And there's, of course, Kunda means a pond or a little lake. And the pastime that happened there is quite interesting and funny. So we'll tell this pastime. And this pastime is related by the Acharyas, particularly Rupa Goswami and other Acharyas. I think even Raghunath Das Goswami related this pastime. So what happened is, once upon a time, the coward girls, the gopis, they were bringing milk products to Govindakund, because there was a sacrifice there, and the brahmanas had requested all these different milk products, like ghee and yogurt, and of course milk itself. And as they were passing by this Dhani Nivartana Kund, and actually, basically it happened near the also a place called Dangati. Dangati means a place, a path over Govardhan Hill, or a tax place over Govardhan Hill. There's actually a road that's called Dangati, right in the middle of Govardhan Hill, right in the middle of Govardhan City. So as they were passing, Krishna said, you got to pay taxes for your milk products. And gopis got very, very upset. And there was a whole discussion about the taxes. And Krishna, he started to give the amount of taxes that they would have to pay. And the amount was based upon, a very funny way, different parts of Radharani's transcendental body. Now, this is actually quite romantic. And those who are on the material conception will have a hard time understanding this, thinking it sounds mundane. Because just like in the material world, one looks at different parts of people's bodies and they appreciate or not appreciate. You know, some people you may think are ugly, some people may be beautiful. This, of course, is the concept of duality. Happiness, distress, beauty, and ugliness. And actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us that if one is actually renounced from this world, one will neither be repulsed nor attracted by the so-called attractive or repulsive features of this world. And that was brought out in the pastime he had with Sanatan Goswami. I'll tell that pastime because it's a story within the story. That Sanatan Goswami, while he was on his way to Jagannath Puri to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had to pass through the Jarakanda forest. And when he was passing through the Jarakanda forest, he basically didn't get a chance to eat properly or take care of his health. As a result, he had sores all over his body, running sores, you know, with pus coming out. You know, something that we would consider to be disgusting. You know, if you saw someone with sores all over his body, I mean, certainly you're not going to go embracing that person, you're going to probably send him to the hospital. So anyway, so he gets the Jagannath Puri, and one of the first things that happens then when he gets the Jagannath Puri is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraces him. He forcibly embraces him. And so Sanatan Goswami is feeling that he's committing a great offense by being embraced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with all these sores and the pus coming out of them and his body. And so he decides to commit suicide. Okay, so he goes and he thinks that I will throw myself under the wheel of Lord Jagannath's cart during the Rath Yatra festival. And so he has this intention. Lord Chaitanya, of course, knowing everything, being the Supreme Personality Godhead, understands this and forbids Sanatana Goswami to do this. And Sanatana Goswami is just like very, very upset. You know, he thinks he's committing offenses against Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At one point, he goes to Jagannanda Pandit, and he says to Jagannanda Pandit, another associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's in the mood of Satyabhama, he says, what should I do? And Jagannanda Pandit says, actually, better you just leave and go to Vrindavan. And so when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hears the advice that Jagannanda Pandit gave to Sanatana Goswami, he gets very upset and he starts chastising Jagannanda Pandit. He said, he's just a boy. And he says to Sanatana Goswami, that you are capable of advising even me. You know, so he's actually praising his devotees, just like you see in this pastime, Krishna is praising his friends. So the Lord, even though he's the Supreme Personality of God, and no one's better than him, and no one's more intelligent than him, obviously he's omniscient, omnipresent, and all those other nice factors, he actually praises his devotees. That's how much love he has for his devotees, is the intimate exchange. So there's another point I can bring out in that story. So anyway, so ultimately, Lord Chaitanya tests Sanatana Goswami to see if Sanatana Goswami is just like really detached from this world and ready to do what's necessary to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead without making any offenses. So we ask Sanatana Goswami to meet him at the other side of Jagannath Puri. And there's two ways of getting to the other side of Jagannath Puri. One way is right by the temple main gate. And the other way is by the beach, and it happens to be the middle of the summer, and it is really hot, and the sand is enough to cook vegetables. What to speak of burning your feet. So Sanatana Goswami takes the beach route. Not beet root, beach route, or route, as you may say in the UK. So he takes the beach way. And he goes to see Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, which way did you take? And Sanatana Goswami describes the way he took, and Lord Chaitanya says, why didn't you take the way in front of the temple? You know, it's very cool. And Sanatana Goswami says that because I have all these sores in my body, I feel I would be contaminating the pujaris who would be taking care of the deities. And so therefore, to avoid that, Lord Chaitanya said, you have so many blisters on your feet. And he was very pleased with Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami, of course, exhibited his fear at having been embraced by Lord Chaitanya with all these sores all over his body. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this is very much connected with these verses with Krishna and his Gaura boyfriends. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, and then I'll get back to the story, the Dhanu Nivartana Kunda, anyway. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, I'm a sannyasi, and if I was to actually see the difference, of course, we understand, you see the difference, but actually feel differently towards someone because of, you know, some apparent ugly feature. And actually, it's not ugly. Sanatana Goswami had a transcendental body. In fact, it's mentioned that if one considers anything about a pure devotee to be mundane, acharyamam vijnanam Navaman Yeta Parichit, the Marchibudya Suyeta Sarvadeva, my old guru. That is not good. You know, in other words, Acharyamam Vijnanimam. Navaman Yeta Karijit, one should not consider. And there's another verse that says that if one does consider anything about a great devotee to be mundane, it's like thinking the deity is made of stone or wood. And also it's described in that verse that one has hellish intelligence. So Lord Chaitanya said, first of all, as a sannyasi, I can't change my attitude. So, you know, I'm paraphrasing what Lord Chaitanya said, sort of like a purported explanation. I can't change my attitude towards someone just because of, you know, what's considered bad or good or repulsive or attractive within this material world. That's not a sannyasi's mood. A real sannyasi has to pandita samadarshana. Samadarshi is to see things equal. You know, even a Brahmin is supposed to see like that. Samadhamaktapakshocham shantirajvam evachat. The first word to describe the qualities of a Brahmin is sama. Seeing things in an equal poise fashion. And of course, dhamma, self-control, etc. So Lord Chaitanya said that. And Sanatana Goswami replied that this is simply external. Tell me the actual, I'm paraphrasing, tell me the actual reason. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that basically he had so much love for his devotees, you know, Sanatana Goswami and all of his devotees and everyone, that he considered the pus oozing from the pores, not the pores, but the sores, of Sanatana Goswami to be like chatushima, which is a very, let's say, wonderful flavored substance, like sandalwood and things like that. And so he said that, and also he said, because he said, you know, a mother, you know, showing his love for his devotees, a mother does not consider these things, like mother will clean a child, change the diapers or something like that, and the mother will not get repulsed by it. So that's love. So there were different reasons. So anyway, this story shows the loving exchanges between the Lord and his devotees, how the Lord is ready to serve his devotees and accept anything that his devotees do, and also shows the Lord's being equal poised insofar as, you know, these different dualities of this world. In our Bhagavad Gita class, we've been talking about the seventh chapter of the Gita, and the descriptions are given that one has to rise above dualities. In the 15th chapter of the Gita, you have the story, not the story, but the injunction, Nirmana Mohajita Sangha Dosha of Yatma Nitya Vinivritta Kama Dvandvara Vimuktar Sukaduka Sangyar Gachanchi Muda Paramabhyam Tat. That one has to rise above duality to be Krishna conscious. You know, if you're actually disgusted by, you know, these external, some external feature in the material world, or attracted by some external feature, that's a dualistic conception. Of course, it takes some time. We'll be patient, or Krishna will be patient. And so, anyway, so getting back to the Dhanadavartana Kunda story, the pastime, text pastime. Krishna is praising different parts of Radharani's body. Now, try to understand. Excuse me. It's not like the dualities of this world where someone's body is attractive or repulsive. Radharani is the Shakti Tapa Ladini Shakti of the Supreme Personality of God, and her body is completely transcendental. So to praise, for Krishna to praise her body, but one has to be very, very careful when they're reading these descriptions and not thinking that her body is like the body of some mundane man or woman. It's not like that. So therefore, one really has to be spiritually qualified, or at least intellectually qualified, to be able to distinguish and not get disturbed by these descriptions. So Krishna is going over different parts of her body, you know, beautiful. For your eyes, for example, you have to pay so much gold and jewels for your beautiful ears. And he goes over the whole transcendental body of Srimati Radharani. And this is extremely romantic. So, anyway, after a while, the price becomes too high, so basically it ain't going to work. So there's a big fight between the coward boys and, you know, so Krishna's there, and the gopis. And eventually, Purnamasi comes and Yogamaya. That Yogamaya, she arranges for all these pastimes. And she acts as a mediator. So this, as a mediator, she says, okay, let's make a deal. Let the girls go to where they're supposed to go and bring the milk products and let them pay the taxes tomorrow. And so Krishna, being obedient to Yogamaya, says, yes, of course. And so the girls go away and they deliver the milk products at Govindakund. And then the next day, when Krishna is waiting for them to come back, the girls come back with probably millions of gopis. I don't know the exact number, I haven't counted. Millions of gopis. They overpower the coward boys and tie them to trees. And in this way, and take sticks. You know, they don't beat them hard, but they take sticks and teach them a good lesson. So Krishna and the coward boys are tied to trees. So this is one of the beautiful tax pastimes that occur in Braj. So this is what is mentioned here. And Krishna's continually stealing. You know, when he's very young, he goes into the elderly gopis' houses and steals butter. And when he gets older, he steals butter directly from the hands of the young gopis. So that's why he's called Makhan Chor, the beautiful name of Krishna, which means a butter thief. So let's get on with this. So let's see, we read that already. Let me read Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's commentary to the verse we just read. They threw bilva fruits, kumbha fruits, and amalaki at each other. They, trying to touch each other and avoiding being touched, they approached each other from behind unnoticed, trying to put their hands over the other boy's eyes. If they succeeded in doing so, they won. The prize was a fluke. This is exactly what was spoken before. And actually, we don't have to read repetitive descriptions. And finally, text 15. Kvachit chadar dura plavar vividar upahasakai kadachit shandoli kaya kalhi chin ripa cheshtaya. They would sometimes jump around like frogs, sometimes play various jokes, sometimes ride in swings, and sometimes imitate monarchs, that means kings. So, purport again. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur explains that the word Ripa Cheshtya as follows. In Vrindavan, there was a particular place in the riverbank where people wanted to cross the Yamuna would pay a small tax. This is something. At times, the coward boys would assemble in this area and prevent the young girls of Vrindavan from crossing the river, insisting they had to pay a customs duty first. Such activities were full of joking and laughter. And Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur comments, from the third day of the waxing phase of the Shravan month, they would play on swings, shandolika, acting like kings and taking fees, but at the toll gate they would obstruct the young girls with the intention of taking their hands. Jiva Goswami says, sometimes they would imitate various things and cause laughter, upahasa kahi. Sometimes one of them would sit on a rock of Govardhan and pretend it was a throne, and others would serve the king with chamara, umbrella, flour, pollen, and other ingredients. And Sanatan Goswami says, they would cause laughter, imitating various things or assuming various forms in which were famous or present amongst people with particular descriptive elements to define them. So what I wanted to talk about, because we just have a few minutes left for class, unfortunately, I want to refer to the nectar of devotion. And first of all, talk about the four qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that are only present in Vrindavan. Because normally when we think of God, we think in an on-reverent way, and the other qualities, 60 qualities that are listed, are more or less applicable, and they are applicable to all the other expansions of Krishna, such as Narayan, Lord Vishnu, etc., like that. And so these four qualities we're going to read about are only expressed in Vrindavan, in Krishna's activities in Vrindavan. And so I'm going to go through them rather quickly, and then we're going to, if we have time, I want to talk about Krishna's qualities. So remember, these are the four qualities we're hearing about when we read these pastimes. One is performer of wonderful activities. And this, of course, is in relationship to intimate activities. And there's a quote here, although I have many fascinating pastimes, whenever I think of the Rasa Leela, which I perform with the gopis, I become eager to have it again. And here's another quote. I know about Narayan, the husband of the goddess of fortune, and I also know about many other incarnations of the Lord. Certainly all the pastimes of such incarnations are exciting to my mind, but still the pastimes of the Rasa Leela performed by Lord Krishna himself are wonderfully increasing my transcendental pleasure. So, of course, Rasa Leela is the pinnacle of all the pastimes in Vrindavan, but the common denominator of all the pastimes in Vrindavan is the intimate exchanges in which the devotees actually sometimes, or many times, take a superior position to that of Krishna. It's very intimate, and they don't remember that Krishna is God. In other locations, other worlds, other Vaikuntha planets, they're remembering that Narayan is God, and they're thinking in an on-reverent way. Second quality is Krishna surrounded by loving devotees. And we hear this in this pastime. I'm not going to read any quotes about that. Another one is Krishna's attractive flute. And we've just heard about the flute in these pastimes. And the fourth one is Krishna's exquisite beauty. So only in Vrindavan does Krishna exhibit all these different qualities. Now, as he's exhibiting these different qualities, he has four aspects to his personality that are very, very interesting. And we're going to try to understand these particular verses in terms of these different qualities and see which ones fit. Because some of these qualities are contradictory. In other words, it's sometimes Krishna exhibits certain of these qualities, and another times Krishna exhibits perhaps what would be considered to be a contradictory quality, depending on the situation. So, first quality, this of course is the four qualities, Dhiradatta, Dhiradatta, Dhira Prashanta, and Dhira Lalita. The first quality is called Dhiradatta. So, a Dhiradatta person, according to Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami, is from the Nectar Devotion, is a person who is naturally very grave, gentle, forgiving, merciful, determined, humble, highly qualified, chivalrous, and physically attractive. So this particular description fits, this is Krishna's quality that he's exhibiting in the particular verses that we just read. It's Dhiradatta. You have to pronounce it with a long A, Dhiradatta. A person who is naturally grave, gentle, forgiving, merciful, determined, humble, qualified, chivalrous, and physically attractive. The second one Krishna also exhibits in this particular pastime. A person is called Dhira Lalita if he is naturally very funny, always in full youthfulness, expert in joking, and free from all anxiety. So actually we see in Krishna's pastimes here, Krishna's not exhibiting any anxiety at all. And other pastimes in Vrindavan, it's interesting that Krishna actually exhibits some anxiety when he sees his coward boyfriends, for example, entering into the mouths of the Agasura or a demon. Krishna exhibits some anxiety. You know, what am I going to do now? And then, of course, he kills the Agasura or a demon. But in this particular aspect of his personality, there's no anxiety. This one fits the pastimes we're reading about to the best, in the best way. A person is called Dhira Lalita is naturally very funny, always in full youthfulness, expert in joking, and free from anxieties. And then the third quality, you don't have much time, is called Dhira Prashanta. A person who is very peaceful, forbearing, considerate, and obliging is called Dhira Prashanta. In other words, obliging means he comes under the control of his devotees. So in this particular case, Krishna is under the control of his devotees. So he's exhibiting this quality too. So in other words, he's exhibiting aspects of Dhiradatta, Dhira Lalita, and Dhira Prashanta in this particular pastime. Now the fourth one, he's not really exhibiting at this particular point. The fourth one is called Dhirodhata, instead of ah. That is a person who was very envious, proud, easily angered, restless, and complacent is called Dhirodhata by learned scholars. So, actually, there's an example here I should read. It's really interesting. When Krishna was writing a letter to Kalyavana, Kalyavana was, you know, a rascal who tried to harass Krishna. Krishna addressed him as a sinful frog. In his letter, Krishna advised Kalyavana that he should immediately go and find some dark well for his residence, because there was a black snake named Krishna who was very eager to devour all such sinful frogs. Krishna reminded Kalyavana that he could turn all the universes to ashes simply by looking at them. So as we progress in this pastime here, we're going to get to the point, I believe it's in the next verse, after this. Let's see. No, it's actually the verse after the next verse. We're actually going to hear about Krishna's exhibition, our Balaram's exhibition of the quality of Dhirodhata, in which he kills the demons. So, Palambasura. So Krishna is very interesting, Balaram is very interesting, and they exhibit different qualities according to the situation. And by hearing about these different qualities exhibited by Krishna and Balaram, one actually becomes attracted, because this is a person. A person is well-rounded, not just one quality. Any of us, we exhibit different qualities in different situations, and Krishna and Balaram are like that too. So, does anybody have any questions? I think we have time for some questions. And we can actually take questions since I'm doing it in my house, and those in the temple are going to greet the deities in a second. And I can actually have pictures of the deities on. Let me just take you off of mute. So, does anyone have any questions? Anybody online have any questions? You're not on mute anymore. Nalini Kant?
Hare Krishna Gurudev, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Bhav.
No questions, Gurudev. It is a bit too high for me.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
So, who else has a question online? Actually, they're greeting the deities now in the temple. Jayanti, you have a question.
Hare Krishna, my homages. Who can be the parrot of Sri Krishna, Shuka? Who can be in this service, parrots?
A devotee can be the parrot. I mean, who? The parrot is the parrot. Of course, Shukadev Goswami is the parrot of Srimati Radharani.
Yes, but what doing the parrots with Radha and Krishna? What is the service?
They're passing messages between Radha and Krishna sometimes. Or okay. When Krishna is planning some rascaldom, Radharani's parrot or his parrot will hear and pass the information to Radharani.
And after giving the message, parrot forget what is the message.
In the spiritual world, I don't know. You have to ask the parrots. I mean, in the spiritual world, everybody is full of knowledge. In the material world, yes, the parrots forget. They just repeat. The parrot repeats something without understanding in the material world, and in the spiritual world, the parrot understands.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Nalini Kant, you have your opportunity, since I'm doing this from home.
Gurudev, you mentioned a last statement as Krishna and Balaram exhibit these different qualities to attract their devotees or attract everyone who hears the pastime as well.
Well, they're doing it because they're enjoying. I mean, yes, they're doing it because they're attracting the devotees. That's true.
Yeah. Okay. And...
But, I mean, that is actually very true. But the internal reason is they're enjoying. They're not doing it. I mean, their internal motivation. You know, there's extrinsic reasons as well as internal reasons. Intrinsic as well as extrinsic.
Okay. Intrinsic means esoteric.
Means like esoteric, his own reasons. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world to propagate the Sankirtan movement. That's extrinsic. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came for his intrinsic reasons, which was to understand Radharani's love for him, to experience her love, and to see himself from her perspective.
Okay. But Does that make sense? Yes, Gurudev. But the ones who hear these katha, they also get attracted, but not in the same sense as devotees in Vrindavan.
That we get attracted by hearing the katha. Actually, I'll let you see the deities as we're speaking.
Thank you.
You can continue asking questions. They're greeting the deities in the temple, so. You can see them?
Yes, Gurudev. Jai Radha Golokananda ki.
That's Radha Golokananda. Right now, I am not going to the temple because I'm feeling a little sick and I don't want to infect the devotees. So that's why I'm giving the class from my house.
Okay, Gurudev. No class yesterday.
No class in the morning because I wasn't feeling well.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I didn't give class because I wasn't feeling well. And I am social distancing for about a week until I feel better.
Okay, good.
I mean, probably nothing serious, but I have to protect the devotees. That's really important. Who else has a question? You're all free to ask questions now while we're greeting the deities. No one has a question. All right. It's nice to see everybody. Jayanti, Samyarupa, Manaharini Radha, Gaurahari, Krishna Priya, Sita, Amitanand, Ganesh. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Krishna Priya has a question. Okay, ask a question. You got to unmute yourself to ask a question, Krishna.
Okay, I'm unmuted now. So I had a question. So in this pastime, Purnamasi comes and she stops she's like the mediator, like you were saying. Yeah. So then my question is, does Purnamasi come when it's the pastimes with Krishna and the cowherd boys involved? And is it Brindadevi that is more involved when it's just Krishna with the gopis?
No, they both work together. If you hear the, Vidagdha Madhava.
I was listening to that, your audio.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, so it's interchangeable.
Yeah, it's interchangeable. I mean, they both work together. You find in many pastimes that Purnamasi gives Vrinda some duty to do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so they both work together. I wouldn't say that one works with the gopis and one works with the cow. You know, Purnamasi is very much involved in the relationship between Radha and Krishna.
Right. Wasn't she the one that had, you know, created that whole thing that told everyone not to marry their daughter to Krishna?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she was the one who gave advice. Don't marry Kirtida. She said to Kirtida, don't marry your daughter to Krishna. And then she arranges in many cases, let's say marriages between Radha and Krishna are done in secret, like in Gantoli and other places in Braj.
Thank you.
So anyway, so they both work together. I don't think that one is exclusively or even mostly working in one type of pastime or the other type of pastime.
That's what I was wondering.
They interact with the gopis in many different ways, like with the tax pastimes. There's so many tax pastimes that occur, not only the one at Govardhan that I told. And, you know, that Krishna extracts the milk products from the gopis when he acts as a boatman in the Manasi Ganga.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite ones. It's so funny.
Yeah, so there's continual... I mean, in those particular cases, then you have Krishna exhibiting, in many cases, his aspect of his personality of Dhirodatta. Remember what we mentioned? So even with the gopis, you know, generally this Dhirodatta is manifest when Krishna's dealing with demons, but even with the gopis, Krishna exhibits this Dhirodatta personality. It says a person who is envious, proud, easily angered, restless, and complacent. So those qualities are manifest in when he, you know, fighting with the gopis. You know, so in loving relationships, there's all these different manifestations.
Yeah.
So we understand by reading this that Krishna's personality is variegated. Many different aspects of his personality. Nice to see the deities while we're giving class, anyway.
They missed you.
Yeah. I'll be out soon. Anyway, so... anybody have any other questions? Osita, it's good to see you.
Thank you, Maharaj. Look after yourself, Maharaj.
I am. I'm really resting a lot right now. I have to be careful. I mean, in these times, one has to be very, very careful. But good to see you. I'll come to Australia whenever they let me in.
Yes. Can't wait.
The world is changing. Yes. Unfortunately. Or fortunately. It's all Krishna's arrangement. Okay. I think we will end now. Thank you very much. And we'll give you one more picture of the deities. So you can see the deities being greeted. Radha Gopinanda. We left our heart with Radha Gopinanda. We've been worshiping Radha Gopinanda since 1985. In the beginning, it was actually just me and basically Krishna Priya doing the worship. And now we have so many devotees who are enthusiastically worshiping.
You did everything for them. You cooked, you dressed, everything.
Who is doing the fanning of the deities? I can't see right now.
Radharangini dressed today.
Oh, Radharangini dressed. See all the nice, those of you who are not here, you can see all the nice forest flowers and everything. And most of those flowers are grown by the devotees.
Yeah, everything that they have now on, all the flowers, all the garlands, all the other flowers, they're all grown by devotees.
Yeah, so this is really pleasing to Krishna. If we can grow our own flowers or ultimately grow our own food, Krishna will be very pleased with us. So anyway, so Radha Gopinanda Ki Jai. So we will, no class tomorrow since it's Ekadashi, so they play a class of Srila Prabhupada. And we'll see everybody tonight. Let's say at 6 o'clock tonight, we have our Bhagavad Gita study. And then, and say 6 o'clock, and that's 8 o'clock in the morning in Australia and 10 o'clock in New Zealand. So thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.